driving down the street in my truck, not far from my house, and I said, okay, out loud. I said that word, okay. And when I said it, God filled me with him. He filled me with the Spirit. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, and I think I did both. I just went from 0 to 100, you know. And I don't think it was that day, but I think it was the next day. I was standing in my shop, and I just wanted, that's all I wanted. I wanted Jesus, that's all there was to it. And on the radio, we used to play Q107. How many listen to Q107 ever? It's a rock and roll station. We put it on in the morning and it'd go off at night. And my brother John was partners with me in the business. And this song came on, Sympathy for the Devil. The Rolling Stones do it. And it's a really catchy song. And I'm listening to the words. And I turned to my brother, I said, I'm turning that off. I don't want to listen to it. That came out of my mouth, and he says, me neither. He said, as soon as he had said that, I knew that he had got saved. He got saved the same day I got saved. And I thought, isn't that a miracle, folks? Him and brothers, and we're brothers in a business, and God would chose to do that kind of thing. I want to share how, because I think this is important, that people get wrapped up in things in their life, and we're talking about miracles and signs and all sorts of stuff, right? But God can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from alcohol. He can deliver you from pornography. He can deliver you from anything, right? And he can do it in an instant. And that's what he did to me. The second I said, okay, it was gone. I had tried to quit smoking pot, and I couldn't do it. And when I did that, the desire went. I never touched a thing. I'm 65 years old, and that happened when I was 30 years old. I never touched a thing because of God. Because God did it. Nothing in me, folks. The desire just went, and I got to say that, and I got to impress that. That's not something that I did. That's something that God did. And he can do that for you. And he can do that for one of your relatives, your son, your daughter, your brothers, your sisters. He can do, just pray. Pray. God will do the work. He will. The other thing he did was, I got to mention that I always had a fear of dying. And, you know, that thing just went instantly. And right to this day, I have no problem. I'm ready to fly at any time, folks. I have no problem with it. You know, I used to have a dream that I could fly. Anybody ever have a dream they could fly? And I used to, right up until I was 30 years old, I used to dream this dream, and I loved it. I used to try to go back into the dream so I could fly again. And there was another dream I had, and this is wild when you think about it. I used to dream that I was in outer darkness. And I say that because it was like I was in outer space, and I was holding on to something. And if I was going to let that go, I was gone. But I had the sense of no God around me, no family, no nothing. And I used to wake up terrified. And as a boy, I had that dream. I'd wake up crying, and my mother would try to console me, and she wanted to know what was wrong. I wouldn't tell her, you know. But I had it, and even though I was getting older, it still scared the daylights out of me. Well, there are two dreams that quit that day. And when it comes to flying, I'm flying now. And you know, I can't help but thinking, and I did mark this scripture because I wanted to share it with you, that I have such a bad memory. Not so much I got a bad memory. When I get up in front of people, my mind just goes, when it comes to scripture and lyrics and all that kind of stuff. If I'm by myself, I can quote it word for word. How many else got that problem? And in Isaiah 40:31, it says, But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm fine now, folks. I don't need that dream anymore. And that dream of being in outer darkness, God, save me. I know where I'm going if I leave this world today. And I thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I made a note of, just to mention to some of the Caden me, you do have people. I had people praying for me. I had my dear wife who got saved just before I did. Didn't know she got saved because she knew I'd be rude with her if she told me. And because I had my own beliefs and stuff like that. My mother, she had got saved. She was praying for me. And I found since countless other people that are praying. Do you know that boy of yours? There's other people praying for him. That daughter of yours, there's other people praying. You know, and God showed me that, and I'm so grateful. After I got delivered from the drug scene, it didn't come without temptation, but at no avail. It didn't even visit on me. I had had stuff happen to me like, I know she used to share this in the coffee house, but within a couple days, I went to get a coffee at this donut shop up here in North Whitby, and I stepped right out of my truck, right on an ounce of marijuana on the ground. I stepped right on and I looked around, and I started laughing. I thought, get behind me, Satan, you know, kind of thing. You're stupid. God's delivered me from that thing. And you know, I the thing I regret though, I wish I had picked it up and threw it in the garbage. I just left it there. And then people used to come and try to give me drugs all the time. They'd come into the shop, and people that would never do that. You know, if you're in that drug world and you've got a bunch of people around you like doing drugs, it's not freely given for the most part, right? And they'd just bring it so. But God kept me, and I'm so thankful for that. Again, I say, it's not me, it's God. It's the power of God that did that, and that's why I'm so thankful. You know, I started coming to church not long after that. Probably within 2-3 weeks, I started coming. And it was great. Here's all these people, a lot of people my age. There was a young man named Terry that was here. And he was like an old guy. He'd been saved forever, at least 4 or 5 years, right? And I remember thinking, whoa, I want to be like them. I know Pastor Joe was the same thing, and others that were here at that time. And they got all these people around the 30-ish mark, and things were happening, folks. It was, the coffee house was happening. They would fill that place up downstairs. You couldn't get another person in it. And we'd have a great time on a Saturday night. There's, you know, the pastor, McKinnon, the senior pastor, he had a great light of inviting people to speak. And I thought that was great to hear all these people, you know, ministers that were not only traveling around, but from different parts of the world, they would come and stuff like that. And it was good. It was all good. I got to mention, though, I went to visit Melinda's mom within a few weeks of getting saved. And I think we were going to go up camping. And we went there, and I'm just excited. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. Man, it didn't matter where I was. If I stopped in to get a coffee, I'd tell them about Jesus. And so we told her mom, and she right away says, you had no known Melinda's mom. She was on the wild side. It's wild that she came from her mom, because her mom was just wild and crazy. And anyway, she says to me, what kind of church are you going to? And I said, I don't know. She says, is it Catholic or is it Protestant or Catholic or what? I go, I don't know. I think it's a Pentecostal church, I says to her. She goes, oh, She says, when I was about 18, I went to one of those Pentecostal churches. She said, I went in, and they're running around the pews. They're piggybacking each other, and they're hooting and hollering. And she goes on and on, you know. And when she's finished, I said, man, I wish I'd been at that meeting. And she didn't like that, though. She got madder in a hatter, I think. One of the people that I got to share this with you, too, because this is interesting. That we had a lady come here. Her name was Jewel Courtney. Mm-hmm. And she had a prophetic ministry. And I think there's a few people that know her here. And this was a long time ago. And I knew that she had had a gift. That's the first time I met her. She had prayed over people in the church here. And some I knew, and I knew that she didn't know them. And the things that were coming out of her were just tremendous, right? It was God. And I remember sitting on that pew, right in the front. She's up here praying for somebody, and I'm thinking, oh, is she going to come over to me? I want to find out everything's going to happen in my life, you know? And I remember turning around and looking at me, just staring at me, right? And she started coming for me. And I thought, oh, here we go. I was excited, right? She come over, and I got to say, everybody she laid hands on was quick, man. She'd put her hands on somebody, and she'd have a word for them and tell them things, you know. Just I can't remember. I did know a few at a time, or a few, but I just, it's gone out of my head. But anyway, she put her hands on me for the longest time. And I'm waiting and waiting. Finally, she takes off her hands, looks at me. She goes, oh, my, you're somebody that needs a lot of work. Well, I just about died inside. You know, I'm sitting there calm to me, but inside I'm going, oh, yeah. But you know, she said something that I totally missed at that time. I don't know if it was the next day or a couple years later. But she says, don't worry. God says you're going to make it. And that did more for my walk than you'll ever believe. When I got that word, as much as that thing, pretty well, you know, not the kind of thing you want to hear, right? You want to hear that you're a wonderful Christian. And you're on your way. I hope everybody's like you. But anyways, I wanted to share that. I want to mention too that I often prayed from when I first got saved that God would use me. And not only that he'd use me, but that he'd equip me. That I wouldn't do it on my own. I got that light on in an early time of my walk, and he did use me. One of the things he used me right off the bat was in this church. Like, mind you, I didn't, you know, at times I would put a line out and say stuff to people and hope that they'd grab it, and then I could share Jesus with them. But, you know, we had the coffee house here, and there's so many times that I got blessed in that thing, and I got used. One of the highlights was, there's so many, that's why I say, I gotta just say, no, you can't do it, you can't do it. I got one highlight that I wanna share, because it just thrilled my soul. One night, we were downstairs here, and our group was playing Mighty Warriors, and there was three little girls sitting at the table in front of us, right up the front, and I remember just sharing, you know, if you really want Jesus, don't worry about what anybody's looking at you or anything. Just put your hand right up, you know, because there was good testimonies that night, right up in front of everybody. And